you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast. We are in the middle of the playoff hunt. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined as always by Mike Clay and Al Zeidenfeld. We're going to get you ready for this week's action with all of the DFS breakdowns that you need to figure out who to put into your lineup. Guys, I am really excited about this, in part because last week was an awesome week for all of us. Mike, I'm just going to let you jump in here because it feels bad. So technically, Mike beat me last week, and he beat me by a fair amount. However, I was up in seventh place at one point in our contest. But Mike, you finished with 191.76 points. What a great lineup, man.
I appreciate that. It was crazy. I actually thought, and it wasn't like you were seventh early in the day. You were seventh late in the contest, yes. Right? I mean, that Steelers game with the comeback just got out of control. I had Juju Smith-Schuster in there, which was huge. And, you know, that kind of pushed me ahead. So you had a great week, 170.76. I mean, that's going to win you most of your head-to-head. You finished 88th in the contest out of well over 1,000 people. And I finished 13th with 191.76, as you mentioned. So it was an awesome week for our show last week. We had a lot of comments on social media. So hopefully if you're listening, you did well too. So it was awesome. And also shout out to the winner, right? Because I had 191.76. The winner at 209.04. That was griffin.daniel85. So, you know, maybe he has Daniel right in there, Daniel.
Yeah.
So right in his name. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if his name is Griffin Daniel or if it's Griffin dot. I copy Daniel's lineups and tweak them a little, 85.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
But if so, props to you because he had a pretty darn good week. So anyway, building some separation on you, my friend. 10 wins for the year. You have 8. It's been close all season. But I'm trying to, you know, the champs show up in the playoffs, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm. It's tough to get 100 and like to finish inside the top 100 of a contest that has well over 1,000 people and to lose to you is just like a kick in the pants, Mike, is what it's all about.
Listen, our goal is goal one is help our listeners win. Goal two is to beat you in this contest.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So we did well.
Great calls last week. Absolutely. Set you guys up really well. And a lot of them paid off, as you can tell from Mike and I's lineup. So this week, join our weekly contest. Again, unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes. We are doing this all the way through the Super Bowl. So join us there for a little bit of fun. And I say we get right into it this week because, again, we've got 6 games to be able to go through, a lot of different names, a lot of different price points, and trying to figure out which position has the best value. How can you put together the lineup you're looking for? So we're going to jump right in with some quarterbacks. And Mike, it almost feels like we just need to start with Josh Allen every single week because mm-hmm. he has been on fire. 35 DraftKings points in his last 3 full games. A quick note on that, because week 17 against Miami, he only scored 20.3 fantasy points, but it's because they pulled him out at halftime. So in every full game that he has played, each of his last 3 full games, he's had at least 35 points. $7,400 here taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Mike, is this just lock it in and don't worry about it because it's Josh Allen territory?
Yeah, so you mentioned how good he's been as of late, right? Super dominant, was also the number one fantasy quarterback during the regular season. So he must be the highest priced quarterback, right? I mean, he has to be. There's no logic that would suggest otherwise, except for that he is not. His price actually went down $100 from last week. Patrick Mahomes is 8K. Lamar Jackson is 7,600. Both of those are priced higher than Allen at 74. So I have him projected almost evenly with Mahomes this week. And, you know, he's $600 cheaper. So you know that I like him as a value. You could talk about how the Ravens defense is really good, and it is, you know, but they have at times been exploited. They've allowed 30 plus fantasy points to the Chiefs, the Eagles, and Cleveland already this season. They've also allowed 5 rushing touchdowns. It's 9th most among quarterbacks. But here's the thing, guys. All the quarterbacks pretty much have a tough slate, right? Even Mahomes going up against Cleveland, if you adjust for opportunity, the Browns have actually allowed the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks during the regular season. Again, adjusted for opportunity. So they're kind of sneaky good in that department. They'll be healthier at corner. Jackson, of course, gets Buffalo on the other side of that game. Rodgers has a super tough matchup against the Rams. Of course, the Brady Breeze with the Bucks and the Saints. So especially among the top highest priced guys, this slate is really tough. There are a ton of good defenses playing this week in terms of fantasy points allowed. So you have to keep that in mind for sure. By the way, quick nugget here, one more nugget on Allen. 300 plus passing yards in 9 of 17 games this season. Over half of his games, he gets you that bonus. Just one more little thing to think about.
Man, he has just taken such a great step this year in becoming guy that we are all hoping we were going to see from him. Obviously, there were some question marks coming in, and he has just alleviated any concern that we had for him at this point. Al, let's talk about Baker Mayfield, obviously from a tournament perspective, $5,300 taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Is this the thought process of it's the Kansas City Chiefs and they're going to have to go out there and throw a lot to keep up? So Baker, you know, from a volume perspective, makes a lot of sense here.
I mean, quarterbacks, you can get away with paying down, right? There's very few unicorn quarterbacks that can run away with a slate and get you 35 to 45 DraftKings points. It's going to put them in a position where you have to have a quarterback. Usually, you have to have the running back or the wide receiver because it's easier for them to run away with a slate. So Baker Mayfield being all the way down at 5,300 with him averaging 286.3 passing yards with 2 touchdowns per game over his last 6 seems like in this situation where game flow or game script seems to predict that they're going to be playing from behind, therefore throwing a little bit more. Yes, I know that quarterback throwing volume does not always equal fantasy goodness, but we saw the same thing happen last week with Pittsburgh when they were chasing the entire game and Ben threw for like 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns and threw 47 interceptions. So like if he has a game like that, where Baker throws for like 350 with 2 or 3 touchdowns as they're chasing the Chiefs all over the field, I kind of like the pass catching options that I think are too cheap. It allows you to stack or double stack with Baker in kind of a sneaky way and get yourself exposure to the pass catching options on Kansas City as bring back stacks without having to pay up all the way to Patrick Mahomes to get there. So I think that he makes a very good tournament option this week. You could use him in cash if you're piling in more high dollar, if you don't want the value wide receivers, as Mike is going to get to when we get to the wide receivers. So yeah, I kind of like Baker Mayfield based on his price.
Yeah, $5,300 is just real low, especially when you look at the rest of how much the rest of this quarterback class costs right now. I mean, it is so much cheaper, it feels like, than everybody else based on what the upside could be with him. So I love that call there. Tom Brady, another quarterback we quickly want to talk about, $6,300 taking on the New Orleans Saints. He's hit at least 25 points in 4 straight weeks. He is peaking at the right time. Excited to see. I'll bet you we're going to talk about some of his wide receivers here coming up in just a little bit. But that's really it for quarterbacks. I mean, with only 6 guys to be able to choose from, you're really looking at a smaller field to be able to help there. Anything with this out, you know, you look at what happened last week. Again, we talked about the smaller field and whatnot. Anything from this quarterback class when you look at it that kind of separates itself for guys that you specifically would want to stay away from? And Mike, I can ask you that too. Just understanding the price point of smaller field, you got to have more premium plays here.
So for me, again, I mentioned the unicorn type quarterbacks, right? So guys like Allen and guys like Lamar Jackson, those who can get you 300 yards passing and or 100 yards rushing or contribute with a rushing touchdown. So Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of that. He's also priced up at 8,000, which is 600 more than Allen and 400 more than Lamar Jackson. He's in that unicorn class as well. Guys that can get you a 40-point DraftKings day. But we've seen that way less from Patrick Mahomes this year. Yeah. And getting exposure to guys like Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce gets you your exposure to Mahomes without having to have Mahomes. He's only had like 1 or 2 runaway games on a slate this year. So if I was going to prioritize this week for tournaments, I'm going to want to get as much exposure to either the guys that can run away with the slate, Allen or Lamar, or try to pay down a little bit to get exposure to stacks, bring backs, double stacks, whatever. That's going to allow me to stuff in 1 or 2 more players by paying down at quarterback and hope for a good enough game. Like if Baker Mayfield has 25, 26 DraftKings points, that should be enough if one of the unicorns doesn't run away with the slate for you to get the difference makers at the other positions to make up for that salary drop.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with Al. I think that's a terrific tournament perspective. I think in cash, really the only guy I definitely want to avoid is Rodgers. It's just at 6,900. I don't want to play him at home against the Rams. And sure, throw him into a tournament lineup. Why not? You only have 8 options this week. But in cash, I just wouldn't take the chance of him having a dud. And he's been terrific this season, but he wasn't in that one game against the Bucs. Remember where they got completely shut down when the Bucs D was playing really well. This week he's at home, but he's playing the best defense arguably in the NFL, a team that has allowed the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. So he's the only guy I'm really for sure crossing off in cash. Probably not going to use a guy like Jared Goff either. Probably not Breeze. But otherwise it should be all systems go. By the way, Brady, 2 duds against the Saints earlier this season. That scares me for sure. But also he's 6,300. It's not too intimidating, especially the way that he's played as of late.
Okay. You know, it's interesting when you look at this late, I think I said 6 quarterbacks or 6 games. I did mean 8. So I apologize about that. But when you look at this, obviously, if you're going to look at any of these higher priced quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, even Patrick Mahomes, you've got to find a way to be able to save money elsewhere. And Mike, looking at running backs, mm-hmm. Devin Singletary is only $4,500. Now, with Zach Moss expected to miss at least a good portion, if not the rest of the playoffs, it kind of feels like this is that free square at running back if you're going to pay up a little bit at quarterback for a lower priced guy who's going to have a lot of volume here.
Yeah, for sure. And Moss placed on IR, so he won't officially be back this season. Yeah, so Singletary becomes the feature back, and really he should be a workhorse. That is what we have seen when Moss has missed time, including earlier this season. You know, there's obviously only 4 games, as we've talked about. 10 running backs are priced higher than Singletary, which makes him a value player at 4,500. And look, I look back at the games that Moss has missed, and specifically the games in which Singletary has played over 70% of the offensive snaps and last year as well, because there were 7 games last season in which he played over 70% of the snaps. He averaged, check out this consistency here, 13.6 fantasy points per game in those 7 games last year. This year, there were 4 games he played over 70%, 12.9, right? So we're in that 13.4 range. My projection for him, and this is completely separate of this, I already had the projection done before I looked at that stat, his projection 13.4. His implied DraftKings value based on his price, 13.5. I mean, it just sets up perfectly for what you're looking for in cash. Now, he might not have a massive ceiling in this offense. We know Allen loves to throw touchdowns. Certainly, he'll run some in as well. You'll see a little bit of the other backs like a TJ Yeldon, but it should really be the Singletary show, and there's a chance for 15 touches, maybe even more, if they lead throughout this game. By the way, the Ravens mid-pack in fantasy points to running backs over the past month and past 2 months, they've actually faced the 5th fewest carries by running backs this season, but they're allowing 4.5 yards per carry. That's mid-pack. They're mid-pack and most receiving numbers as well. So not an intimidating matchup. He should be the guy. He could play 90% of the snaps. There's no question that's a possibility at 45. We love the value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 4,500 is just too cheap to not have him in your lineup this week. Al, I want to talk with you about a running back that is everybody's favorite running back after what he did last week. Patrick Ricard, $4,000 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Him and Cam Akers.
And Cam Akers,
who's only 5,700 net 20 touches in 4 of his last 5. I mean, last week he got the ball a ton, as we kind of said. He was the free square last week. Now, look, typically I like to play running backs that are favored and at home. He's neither of those things, but this is a shorter slate. We've talked about on shorter slates how you have to be willing to break some of the rules. And if I'm going to break rules, I'm going to do it with guys that are getting 25 plus touches a week pretty much all the time right now. He's got 20 plus carries and 20 plus receiving yards in 4 of his last 5 games. The only running back who has done that this season. He had 30 touches last week. We have seen the Packers, who are not very efficient at stopping opposing running backs this year, win games while allowing 100 yards rushing on the other side. David Montgomery was one of the running backs that did it. There were a couple of others as well that had good fantasy days in big losses to Green Bay because of that inefficiency, the fact that they just don't tackle all that well. And Cam Akers is going to get the touches. So if you're piling in Devin Singletary at 4,500 and Cam Akers at 5,700, I think that is going to be the most popular grouping of 2 running backs on this slate. And much like last week where I said it's not a 3 running back week, you're probably going to end up playing a wide receiver in flex, and that's the way that it turned out. I think that this is another week along those lines. Now, if you want to get contrarian and pay up at running back to be contrarian, to get off of that Singletary acre stack and hope that they fail, and maybe you're going to get a little bit of differentiation from the field with the way that you play it, fine. Go that route in tournaments. But if you're playing cash games, double ups, triple ups, 50-50s, head-to-head games, Singletary plus Akers plus a pass catcher in the flex is going to be the way to go. And I'm going to open it up. I'm not putting the cart before the horse here, hopefully, at least not too much. But I'm going to open up flex to include Travis Kelce in two tight end lineups. So in other words, I'm probably not going to allow myself to have two tight ends unless one of them is Travis Kelce, because I just view him as a top-level pass catcher who's underpriced.
Yeah, fair. I love all of that. I want to take a quick moment to say congratulations to Brad Holmes, the new GM of the Detroit Lions. Just getting news from Adam Schefter that he has been hired as the new general manager for the Lions. I'm very excited about what that's going to mean. All right, rather than derail the entire podcast with my Lions thoughts, I will do that on a separate podcast and let everybody know exactly what I think. However, we still have a couple of running backs to talk about. Obviously, we just talked about Devin Singletary and Cam Akers, both under a $6,000 price point. Couple other guys here. Alvin Kamara, $7,900, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 25 touches last week with Michael Thomas back in the lineup. You love to be able to see that usage even once Thomas returns. You got Nick Chubb, $6,600, taking on Kansas City. He's either scored or hit the 100-yard bonus in every game he's played since week 10. So a couple of their options there at running back to be able to think about, some guys that we really like, a little bit higher price guys if you don't want to have some of the cheaper guys that the rest of the slate can be on, but a lot of options at running back. And Mike Clay, I'm going to hand it over to you to help us pay some bills. How does that sound?
It sounds pretty good to me, but I do have a question for you first. And that question is, do you own or rent your home, Daniel?
I sure do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be a lot of hard work. Oof, you know what's easy? Lot. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Do you need help keeping your New Year's resolution to get in shape and eat right?
Yes.
Well, then it's time to get Freshly, Mike Clay. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs and make it easier to eat better. Excuse me. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door with no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And Freshly, you don't have to go to the store anymore. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your refrigerator stocked and skip the supermarket. Ordering is super easy. Just visit freshly.com. Choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage-baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Had the sausage-baked penne, and it was delicious. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for you and your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family sizes. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. So stop searching the internet for healthy foods near me every night and start living life freshly. With meals always delivered, never frozen, they're ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. And new meals are added every week. Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Try Freshly now for a limited time and get $40 off your first two orders. That's $40 off your first two orders by going to freshly.com/fantasy. That's freshly.com/fantasy to learn more. All right, guys, let's talk about some wide receivers here because as it has been alluded to, maybe more in the text messages that I've had with you guys going forward, but Mike does not like the wide receivers this week or their price points. We're going to start with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, both who are in that 5K range, Woods at 5,900, Cooper Kupp at 5,300. Mike, tell me why you like them this week going up against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, so a part of it is the, kind of working your way through the wide receiver field and struggling, right? I mean, you have Davante Adams, who we love, obviously, but he's going to draw the Jalen Ramsey shadow and play this elite Rams defense. So do you want to pay that price point? I don't feel too comfortable with that. Tyreek Hill, fine. You know, a good matchup against Cleveland. They're going to be healthier corner, which is fine for them, but not too intimidating. But he's 8K, right? He's pricey. You have Stephon Diggs, who's, you know, I think he's a fine value at 7,300, but he's facing Baltimore, who obviously is terrific against wide receivers, hasn't allowed much production this season. Michael Thomas, you know, will he draw the Carlton Davis shadow? He has shut him down the last two times they have faced off. Even though Tampa Bay hasn't been great against wide receivers, that's a suspect matchup as well. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, they're going to be on the perimeter against these, you know, the really good Saints perimeter cornerback duo. Also, the Bucs offense has struggled in two games against the Saints this season. So, and the Chiefs too. Even if you want to go to the Browns, right? I mean, the Chiefs have been outstanding against wide receivers the last couple of years. Marquise Brown, you want to save on him? You might draw Tre'Davious White. There's just a ton of question marks in this slate this week. Nothing that really jumps out. Even the Packers have been pretty good, actually great against wide receivers this season. But I think that in this case, with all of these guys having tough matchups, that these may be the lesser of many evils here, with Woods at 5,900 and Kupp at 5,300. They're both top 10 in the slate, but they're 7th and 10th. It's the prices aren't overwhelming. You have Woods, who has had six or more targets in 14 of his 17 games this season. He has 4+ catches in 10 straight games. So at least you kind of know you're going to get that floor out of him. And then you have Cooper Kupp, who he only has one touchdown in his past 12 games, mm-hmm. but he still has 12+ fantasy points in 8 of those games. So he still has delivered to some extent without the touchdowns. And we know they could come at any given point. So, you know, I'm a little worried about the matchup. You have J.R. Alexander. I don't think he'll shadow in this game. King and Sullivan are their other top corners. They're not as intimidating. We know Kupp's in the slot. He won't see J.R. Alexander. Woods moves around a lot, so he won't see one guy. And the Packers have allowed the occasional big game. Adam Thielen, Richie James, Allen Robinson, they all had 27+ points. So I think that, again, as I work through this slate, I don't feel like I really want to spend on the top guys. I want to just look a little cheaper, maybe spend elsewhere. And you know, I'll talk more about that when I get to my lineup. But I think Woods and Kupp are both I would want at least one in my cash lineup.
Interesting. At least one of either Woods or Kupp in your cash lineup. I assume that is a little bit of foreshadowing. We'll see once we get to your lineup towards the end. Al, let's talk about, from a tournament perspective, Chris Godwin taking on the Saints. He has scored in 4 straight games. He is $6,100. It looks like the Bucs offense has been ramping up at the right time to get rolling. What do you like about Godwin this week against the Saints?
I like that Mike Evans does not perform against the Saints is kind of the thing that I like and what's pushing me towards Godwin. I try to stay away from narrative-driven sort of analysis, but like statistically, and Mike, you're the matchup king. In the last 3 years, in the 6 games that Mike Evans has played he is shadowed, yes, by Lattimore the times that they play New Orleans.
Yes,
he is averaging 11.47 PPR points per game, as opposed to the other 39 games where he's averaging almost 18 PPR points per game. So his volume goes down in those games. He receives about 5.5 targets versus the 8.5 that he normally gets. And it's not like they're not going to have to throw. The shootout potential of Buccaneers Saints games that are played in New Orleans has historically been pretty high with Arian's system and the way that things go currently. I could see that being in the range of possibilities this week. And if they're not going to target Evans against Lattimore, because honestly speaking, he just seems to have his number, those targets have to flow towards other people, which means a bump in market share for guys like Godwin. Probably not Gronk, but maybe Antonio or maybe AB as well. So for me, Godwin's the guy based on his recent performance, based on the fact that he's just a little bit younger. His price at 6,100 is just right. But maybe you could speak to the matchup there. Everybody has a tough matchup, as you alluded to, because it's the playoffs and these are the best teams remaining. So I like Godwin the best out of the Buccaneers pass catchers.
Yep, I agree with that. And that aligns with the Saints defense. They've allowed the 7th most fantasy points to the slot this season, the second fewest to the perimeter, because Lattimore and Jenkins are so good. Really, Jenkins has been outstanding this season. Lattimore hasn't quite been himself, but he is dominant self of years past, but he has also faced the number one wide receiver most often, not to mention, like you said, he has had Mike Evans' number, including this season. So I'm with you. I feel like because everyone is such a tough matchup, I want a piece of this Bucs wide receiver trio, especially they played as of late, but I wouldn't push it. I wouldn't push it too much just because, you know, again, the Saints have had their number.
Okay. Yeah,
so Godwin's two matchups. In week one, four targets, one catch against New Orleans. Four catches on six targets, 10.4 DraftKings points in their second outing. I think that targets flow towards Godwin.
Right. He theoretically is the best matchup here, but Godwin does. None of these guys have really performed against New Orleans this season. Again, it's a small sample, too. You have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that Tampa's peaking now, but I'm with you. But that's the hard part is just pretty much everyone has a tough matchup. It's brutal.
Yeah. Across the board, there's a lot. A couple of the wide receivers that we can talk about here, trying to find a few guys to fit into your lineup. Marquise Brown at $5,200 taking on the Bills. He's had back-to-back 20-point outings. You love to see that. Michael Thomas, $6,700 taking on Tampa. 5 for 73 and a touchdown last week. Hopefully he can continue to build on that. Excuse me. Stephon Diggs, $7,300 taking on Baltimore. Anything you want to add on any of those guys real quick, Mike, before we move on to tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned them already. They all have tough matchups. They're still a little underpriced in my estimation. I still think you could squeeze Brown in there. I'm fine with Thomas at 67. You know, that's a guy that we know could have a 30-point game for sure, and he's priced below some of the other top guys. And Diggs' price is down a little bit from past weeks because presumably because they're facing Baltimore. So at least that's part of it. So I think I'm okay with him, but again, I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody, Daniel.
I don't like anybody.
I don't like anybody.
It's the Nick Miller of our DFS show. I love it. All right. Let's talk about some tight ends here, Mike, because I know we alluded to this earlier as Al mentioned it. So I'm sure we'll get into it, but Austin Hooper, $3,800. If you're looking for a cheaper tight end on the slate this week, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, he's had at least 13 points in four straight. He's found the end zone in three of those games. Mike, it seems like Austin Hooper's value along with the target share that he's been getting in recent weeks is too much to pass up here.
Yeah, no question about it. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel super comfortable with Hooper just because he has disappeared and had many duds during the regular season. But look, I mean, there's eight teams playing here. He's the fifth tight end in terms of pricing. He's 4K less than Travis Kelce. He's 1200 less than Mark Andrews. And you know, to your point, he finished regular season with three straight top eight fantasy weeks. He had 14 plus fantasy points in all three of those games. That would, you know, getting 14 would easily allow him to be valuable, compared to his price point of 3,800. Last week, 11 targets, 7 catches, 46 yards, and a touchdown. He had a season high 18 points. Talk about peaking at the right time. The Chiefs, by the way, you know, How often have we said somebody is a good matchup yet in this show? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Austin Hooper actually does. The Chiefs have allowed the six most fantasy points to tight ends. They're top 10 in targets, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, yards per catch, yards per target, catch rate to tight ends. This season, they've allowed 18 or more fantasy points to tight ends in five of their past seven games, six touchdowns during that span. So Hooper actually looks like he has a good matchup and he's super underpriced. He definitely is a fine option.
Okay. Al, we talked about it earlier. If you're going to potentially pair Travis Kelce with another tight end, it kind of felt like Austin Hooper was the only lower priced tight end that had enough value to make it worth it. But I just want you to, you know, from a tournament perspective, you know, packaging a two tight end package for what it is that you want to do. And if you don't want to go that route, other than just Kelce, is there another tight end that you like off this slate?
Yeah, I mean, if we're just looking for touchdowns and somebody who could have a multiple touchdown game at the position on very little volume, that would be Jared Cook. So Tampa Bay historically being like the last two or three seasons has been kind of a pass funnel, meaning that they're really tough against the run. They just force you to pass. And that continued this year with a league high 75.5% of yards against the Buccaneers have come through the air. So no team allows a higher completion percentage that's remaining in the playoffs. You have to talk about a good matchup in context, right? So like, there's no more Houston's. There's no more Detroit's. More Jacksonville's, right? So, like, we don't have the squishy defenses to kind of go and attack. So we have to kind of pick and choose contextually where we think those soft spots are. And no remaining team allows a higher completion percentage on tight end targets in Tampa Bay at 71.3. And Drew Brees has been known to be an efficient thrower in terms of completion percentage. So the targets that he throws towards Cook and based on his red zone and end zone usage, and the fact that you should have to theoretically throw and that the Saints don't really want to run the ball all that much unless Taysom Hill's the quarterback. I see paths to Jared Cook at a fraction of what Hooper's percentage is going to be in tournaments, having the same touchdown upside that Hooper has on admittedly lower volume. So he's got a lower floor, but we've seen Cook have touchdown or two touchdown games in the past. And that's what you're looking for on a short slate, is that leverage guy who's a value who can get there on touchdowns for you. He certainly provides that.
Certainly does. 100%. All right. Well, we mentioned Travis Kelce, $7,800 taking on Cleveland. We mentioned we have not mentioned Mark Andrews, but only 5,000 taking on Buffalo. Another guy that we sort of like, you know, Al, is there anything else for either one of you before we transition out of tight ends? I mean, like you've already said, there's a lot of tough matchups this week. Threading this needle, it feels like it's harder and harder with fewer teams, fewer matchups, more good teams here. So these premium plays are really important. Before we get into Mike and I sharing our head-to-head matchups, anything else you guys want to add about this slate before we move forward?
Travis Kelce is very good at football.
Okay. All right.
Noted. No, I'm going to write that down. Can you guys give me a second?
Take notes on that.
Need to write that down. No, not too much. I think we'll kind of get to this in the lineups, but definitely a week where you can use a tight end in the flex if you want to. I'm fine with Andrews too. If you want to be a little different and use Andrews Kelce, I think you can pull it off. We know Andrews has that big upside, and he's only 5K. His targets have been huge as of late, and Buffalo not great against tight ends this season. So tight ends actually have some decent matchups. The prices are fine. I think you can get away with it in cash this week if you want to. You don't have to, but it's certainly an option.
Totally. All right. In order for me to dig my way out of this two-game hole I have put myself in, Mike, I am going to go first because I'm tired of letting you, you know what I mean? Like I want you to see my lineup and be scared so that your lineup doesn't go, you know, do as well afterwards. So I'm going to start. I saw your lineup. I put in a lineup myself earlier yesterday. And then I looked at your lineup and noticed that it was pretty similar. We had a lot of the same thoughts. So I actually tweaked it quite a bit in order to make sure that we had some differences here. So here's my new lineup for this week. At quarterback, Josh Allen, lock in the points. At running back, I've got Cam Akers and Devin Singletary. Wide receiver, I'm rolling with Hollywood Brown, Stephon Diggs, and Tyreek Hill. My tight end is Austin Hooper. My flex is Cooper Kupp with the Rams defense. And I've got $200 left over from that standpoint.
All right. I like it. I like it. We definitely still have some similarities here. So you did not go with Kelce in the flex, or, you know, the two tight end look. I know you were thinking that initially. And I'll tell you what, during my lineup build, I was the same way. I had Hooper Kelce throughout it. In fact, you can make a case you could pivot away from Kelce if you want and really spend up at wide receiver. However, like I said, I don't really want to spend on high-end wide receivers because of the tough matchup, so I didn't do that. I have Baker Mayfield at quarterback. I have Akers and Singletary at running back, and I'm going with the third running back in the flex. I'm going with Alvin Kamara, so I'm totally fine with that. I think you could work him in. Again, he's another guy that has massive upside, so Kamara, Akers, and Singletary in my lineup. I would have liked to find a way to get Nick Chubb in there. Didn't work out here. Robert Woods, a wide receiver, talked earlier about trying to get one of those guys in. I wanted one of the three Bucks wide receivers, as mentioned, and Antonio Brown fit, so I'll go with him, and we know he is a breakup for a big game, and Cole Beasley delivers a pretty I want to say floor, but he's been kind of all over the place this season. Nonetheless, we know he can reach that 20-point mark at any given point. Rams defense as well. Travis Kelce at tight end. So to get Kelce and Kamara in there, I came away pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I understand you wanted to play Nick Chubb. However, DraftKings only allows you to play three running backs. So if you could please just try to stay within the confines of what the rule is, Mike. I just don't want to have to.
You know me. I mean, I'm a rule breaker. I'm a rule breaker. You know, constantly pushing the envelope, you know, constantly having meetings to discuss my behavior and my crazy lineup habits at DraftKings. But I'll try to keep that
in mind. People who get out of pocket. First one that pops in my head, Mike Clay.
Oh yeah,
no question. I think that's my reputation around campus.
Bad boy.
It absolutely is. We call you the 404 because you 404'd so many meetings. Is that a thing? 404.
Yeah. When I walk through campus, people have just run away. They don't want to be even near me. Yeah. So it adds
that's
up.
That's true. It's not just on campus. All right, Al. Let's talk about your weekly tournament lineup.
I set myself up for that, so thank you.
That was good, yeah.
That was a Steve Nash type alley-oop. So short slate here. I'm going to do things a little bit differently while still staying within the confines of trying to be correlated with this lineup. I have a lot of extra correlation in this lineup that has nothing to do with numbers or daily fantasy. We're going to get to that in a second. I'm going with more of a game stack on a four-game slate, trying to capture all the upside in one game. So the teams that won last week were teams that basically stacked up the majority of their players from Cleveland and Pittsburgh in the hopes that all the other ones, because of all these tough matchups, become kind of bully ball defensive stinkers. I've got Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, and Steph Diggs from the Bills. They're good, play a lot, get good volume. I'm going to bring them back with Mark Andrews and Hollywood Marquise Brown. I'm going to correlate the nickname on Marquise Brown with Hollywood Higgins.
Ooh.
I'm going to correlate him with Travis Kelce in the flex, as I spoke before, Cam Akers, and we're going to play with the Rams defense. So correlation abound in this game stack centric lineup.
I think you start the slate with a +3 correlation bonus for the Hollywoods, right? Like as long as
it's, what did Field name me a couple of years? LA Smooth. So I'm LA going Smooth. With the Hollywood lineup here for the divisional round of the playoffs.
I love it. I love it. That is fantastic. Guys, it's been a great week. Last week was a great week for all three of us. Really fantastic. Thank you to everybody for listening to us, hanging out with us, having a ton of fun. We really enjoy being able to do this. We will be back next week for another round of CSS DFS. Al, any parting words before we get out of here?
No, I hope that everybody has a good weekend this weekend. If I don't win a GPP, I hope that one of you guys do.
That's fair. Mike Clay.
Well said. Well said by Al. Again, we're just going to do our thing here. Hopefully, I mean, I want to take first place in the contest, obviously, but hopefully I just finish ahead of you.
Yeah, don't forget to love each other, and hopefully Mike Clay comes in last place. Nobody cares about Mike's lineup. It's the worst. As long as someone other than Mike wins, we will all be happy. So, no, but seriously, I love you guys. Thank you for doing this. We cannot wait to be back next week. Good luck here this week. A ton of really good football. Enjoy it. Football's coming to a close, so make sure that you love it while you can. All right. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy focus.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.